is the 1920s. All across Europe, people are coming to terms with the aftermath of a world torn by war. In Germany, Hitler has begun his rise to the top of the National Socialist Party. Anarchists run riot. The Russian royal family has been deposed. And it seems as if the British Empire has enemies on all sides. But it is not that story that we're dealing with. Other things lurk in the shadow. Older things. Things that have no concept of humanity. Things that have lain in wait since before the humans walked the planet. Sanity-blasting horrors worshipped by the mad and the deluded, they hide behind our world. Waiting. Waiting until the stars were right. Running under the 7th edition of Call of Cthulhu, we now embark on Horror on the Orient Express.
And welcome to episode 57 of The Call of Cthulhu Dice. Today we will be playing, well, technically we're playing 7th edition Cthulhu, running towards Horror on the Orient Express, but we will actually be playing Still Waters of Norfolk, which is a rewrite that I've done of Still Waters from The Great Old Ones by Tolkien. I'm Mordigan. I will be your technically keeper of arcane lore, but we'll just go with GM, shall we?
I'm Archive. I'm playing Baby Carrot's Mind.
I'm Nyx, and I'll be playing Isabel Allison.
Buddy, I will be playing Algernon's Wolfstash.
And for Cabina, I'll be playing Oliver Oldstar.
And you'll notice you can hear her now. Science! Right. Could somebody recap what happened last week? And I suspect this will be Archive, because I suspect she has the most complete notes, having read the first page. Oh my god.
So we all got invited to dinner at the Danny Del Mort Foundation.
A very, very full dinner, for which I provided a full menu.
There was a lot of food.
No, I didn't do a seating. I'm sorry, next time I'll try and do a seating plan. I knew that you were having galantine of chicken, but I didn't know which side of the persons you were sitting on. I'm very sorry. Continue.
So yes, the chairman of this foundation is Henry Terrence Mine, who is my baby's uncle, whichever.
You're doing the recap. You're reading from a diary.
I am reading from a diary. So, we went to dinner with Uncle Henry at his foundation, and then after dinner, he pulled a few of us aside. There was another guest there as well, but apparently they didn't like them very much. There were two guests.
Marquis Fanhao and Jackson White.
Yes, and there was also Countess Rubovka and Professor Smith, who were members of the secret. I don't know.
I think you've put her up in the world.
Have I? What is she?
She's just Madam.
Madam, fair enough. I was trying to write quite fast.
I know. Countess! Fuck y'all! I've been raised in the ranks.
She was quite scary.
She was scary, so scary I thought she must have been royalty.
That would make sense.
Yeah. So yes, Bubble Dye. I don't know, because my diary, I probably shouldn't have read this out. Yes, there were guests, and then some of the guests at home, and the rest of us were called aside and said, we'd like to talk to you, because we think that you should go to Norfolk and pick up this thing for us. And it turned out that actually, well, he was being very evasive about what exactly it was all about.
The Vishak Patnam Fragment, which is a load of brass plates with words on them.
Yes.
It's very old and fairly expensive.
Yes, but apparently it would be good to have so many of us because the person we're picking this up from, Victor Davis, is an old man and very interested in books and he might be regretting the sale. So if you open up, we might be quite persuasive.
On account of there's lots of you and you might not go, no, you can't have the Vishak Patnam. Let's call it the VF from now on. Can I just vote?
Is he selling it because he can't pronounce it?
No, he's selling it because it's not a book.
Yeah, he's selling
any
it.
Cost.
Well, it might be because I can't pronounce it. But if I remember his stats correctly, he's got a lot of languages. Just like, Professor Smith, unless it's French, because I don't do French.
But anyway, I went to school with his daughter, so that's going to be lovely to see Philippa again. And we're going to Norfolk. So that's frightfully exciting, and I think that's really fast done.
Yes. Orange should totally have their scissors. It's certain of handouts out. Right. Let's not worry about it now. I can probably tear paper successfully in relatively straight lines. The evening ended. I assume various of you went back to your own homes. Mm-hmm. Or the people's homes, depending. Did anybody want to do anything before they go to the train station tomorrow? It's quite a long trip to Norfolk. To Reading it is anyway. Because you have to go to Norwich and then change at Norwich to get basically a piddling little line that goes out through the Norfolk Broads over various bridges, some of which are almost certainly flooded because everything is flooded there ever. I might have some more of the cheat sheets somewhere. Basically, you have to get a piddling little line. So it's probably going to be quite late at night by the time you get there. Maybe 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock the next day?
I'd probably like to write to my various friends and my mother, letting them know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I write lots.
Okay, so you write some letters. What about you, Sadie? Are you going to take your uncle's advice and telegraph ahead?
Yes, I'll contact her and let her know.
What are you going to say in your telegram? Remember, you pay by the word.
Oh, golly, okay.
How high is your credit rating?
My credit rating is 40.
Yo, Sadie, coming tomorrow. Okay, stop.
How much is it cost?
Oh no, it'd be Philippa, wouldn't it? I think it's like a shilling a word. It's actually quite expensive.
How about see you tomorrow, Sadie?
Wow. Okay.
Well, visiting tomorrow, that's only two words.
You might want to tell her why you're visiting, because she doesn't necessarily know that you're going for a thing. Incidentally, if you call it the VF, she probably will understand what it is, and it will only cost you a shilling.
Okay. Collecting VF for Uncle.
See you tomorrow.
Oh, that's three whole extra words though now. Tomorrow.
Stay question mark?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to become a thing. I had one party when I first started running Cthulhu who actually looked up telegram codes. Because they used to print out these huge books that had basically a code word, but almost an entire paragraph or a set of words.
Brilliant.
So you could just put like code words, which would be like Glasgow, Edinburgh, Grimsby, Humberside, ? Which actually means, have all of my stocks been sold? And if not, could we sell them within the next 12 hours or so, possibly? No, maybe not, no. Right, did you read your email?
I did.
Excellent. So you know about Philippa?
Although that was a few days ago.
Sadie does know Philippa Davies, having been at school with her. She was a casual, unremarkable acquaintance, shy most of the time with occasional bursts of aggressive and outspoken opinions. That said, she did very well at school, although everybody felt she was a little unbalanced for academic life. She didn't speak about herself or her family. Sadie didn't know, for example, that her father is the well-known historian Victor Davies. Sadie does remember, however, that Villapa was very clever with superb mental recall. Do you want to do anything at your home before tomorrow?
Not that I can think of.
Because you've already made a cult roll for the week.
Not in the cult roll.
What do you like?
Okay. Yes, 09. That's under half.
You can totally tick that skill.
I already have.
Redom is in the Danbury Valley, near the confluence of the Danbury River and the Danbury Canal. The canal was rumoured to be haunted when it was made. Indeed, the Danbury Spur is now mostly unused. Back in the 1700s, there were rumours of... Oh, she's gone. Danny just... Bugger! 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 Il Porcupino just dropped off the call. We'll just recall her again. And I'll attempt not to say her name in future. That's nice. Oh, that's her calling us. I might go downstairs and shut down my other computer as well. We're doing this. Learn
Let's try this again.
Hello! Welcome back. Can you hear us?
Yep, can you hear me?
Yes.
You beeped and then you were gone.
Yes. You were phoning us on the computer downstairs. Which meant I couldn't phone you on this. Hence why I did it. Yes, where were we? I'm going to start from the beginning of the occult roll again. An occult roll tells you that the canal was rumoured to be haunted when it was made, and indeed the Danbury Spur is now mostly unused. Back in the 1700s, there were rumours of witches in the region, and also a demon on the rampage. The respected exorcist, Father Michaels, descended on the region and declared it cleansed. But rumours persisted after he left, so cleansed might have been a euphemism for fuck that shit, this is spooky, and running away. Father Michaels, incidentally, you will know, was a big sort of exorcist slash witch hunter in the 1700s. He pretty much rampaged all over England. But he seems to not have had all that much of an effect. You will receive that in the first post of the morning. Please feel free to read it out because writing doesn't work very well over radio. That's the second part. That's the first one. This is a telegram, by the way.
My word. It's frightfully wealthy. Dear Sadie, your visit brings back happy memories to me. Father and I will be happy to see you. Please plan to stay with us as we have plenty of space. I should probably have mentioned I've got four people coming with me. Oh well. The fish fragment is through the knees. I'm laying on a car to pick you up from the station.
I didn't spell check this, did I?
I'm laying on a car to pick you up from the station and read them. I should definitely have mentioned how many of us there are. Yours sincerely, Philippa D. Sunset Pool, may read them, Norfolk. Yes, if your plans change, please send a telegram. We're inquiring out in the countryside and telephone lines have not yet been made in.
That's about £2.50.
Right. Gosh.
So yeah, you're quite rich.
Yes.
Before you go, Il Pulcimino, do you want to do anything?
No, to leave the shop in the hands of my loving wife.
Your loving Amazonian scale wife.
Yeah.
Oh, do you give Errol the signature?
Yes, of course.
He is very pleased. He immediately goes and tucks it into the dust sheet of The Blood Cult, which is surprisingly enough written by Jackson Elias. He's very happy. He almost cracks a smile and looks slightly dry.
Have a quick look through my books just to see if I can find anything on this mysterious tablet. Is it something that I have reference to at all?
You cannot find anything in any of your books on the Vishak Pakman fragment. How you can call it the VR. You can't find anything on the VR. Sorry.
Very
seems
odd.
To be wholly unknown to the occult circles. You all, I assume, receive tickets from Tolliver. He'll pop round to each person's house and hand them over, give you the full itinerary. Basically, you take the train from Liverpool Street to Norwich, and then from there on the branch line to Lowestoft. But you stop short because you reach Reedham, which is about 3 miles from the place you're supposed to be. But it is on the other side of the Danbury River, so you have to cross the river. Unless anybody wants to do anything in the metropolis before they set off?
Find a good book for journeys.
Okay. Anybody bringing anything that we should know about? Walking stick? Shotgun?
No, I've got my walking stick, but I always have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering whether I should contact you again, just to mention the five.
Oh, well, she'll find out when we get there.
Yeah. It's just been like the
office
car.
Well, it's probably a 1920s car, so it probably has running boards down the side. So you can just hang on.
Oh, that's fine. I'm not
going to. Well, no, you probably wouldn't be hanging on.
You can
hang on.
Right.
I think the two men have just been volunteered to hang on the side. Because that'll look great in his... don't you wear quite a nice coat and hat?
No, no, I'm going to be wearing suitable comfy clothes.
So,
yes. properly made using you.
Yes.
Because that was
thick. Yeah, no, they used to... Piss. You used piss and heather, I believe, to dye their stuff. That's why you don't like it when it's wet. So you set off through the rainy day. it's spitting a bit. You probably take a small overnight bag each. Unless you've got anything in particular that you think I need to know about, you've just got equipment. You couldn't see the air quotes I was doing there, listeners, but I was doing them quite fun. The trip to Norwich takes quite some time. He has actually booked you into first class, though. You've got your own compartment. So you've got quite a long time chugging along. Feel free to have conversations if you so wish. They're British. They all sit there in silence for 4 hours.
I read newspaper.
Newspaper. Mostly the newspaper is filled with stories about how Kemal Atatürk has taken over Turkey, abolished the Ottoman Empire, and is in the process of setting up what he calls a secular Turkey. Which is quite interesting because, of course, the Ottomans were very big Muslim leaders. In fact, at one point they were the Caliphs. I think they were the Caliphs of the Muslim world for quite some time. So that's quite interesting. Other items. Some French actor was busy last night celebrating his birthday in Paris, and supposedly they got through nearly £200 worth of champagne in one evening.
My goodness.
It's quite shocking. Other than that, it's mostly the same old, horrible murder in the East End of London. Probably a drunk sailor having a knife fight with another drunk sailor. A few ships lost at sea, that sort of thing. The weather's quite... It's not particularly cold. Today is quite weirdly like warm for a December day. It's spitting a bit. It's very, very grey and overcast. But it's not, like, snowing and the wind's not too bad. You get to Norwich, and, probably little problem there. And then you wait for the lower stock train. So the Norwich train is a nice, fast, big steam train, very modern. The Lowestoft train is a country chugger. You're, once again, in first class. First class being separated from second class by means of a curtain drawn roughly across the gangplank. Which every time the ticket collector goes through, he forgets and leaves open. And then comes back 5 minutes later and goes, oh, who left this open? Closes it and then glares at all the people in second class. You're just sort of chugging along. It's probably going to take you another couple of hours just across the distance to read it, because it's stopping at every single station. This is the one train a day that's supposed to stop in Reading. So, going in this direction, coming in the other direction, there's one in the morning, basically. It stops at every stop along the way. Broads are pretty, desolate, soggy, really, really soggy, like properly soggy. It's really bad. Yeah.
Did anybody find out anything about this thing last night?
Well, I didn't. Supposedly there's a haunted canal.
Oh, Philip is expecting us. Apparently, she's got plenty of space to get. Maybe she should have mentioned
how many of us are there.
We'll be fine. Apparently, have loads of space.
Oh,
and
they're going to be part of the house. You really don't want to get your suit down. It's a very good plan for anybody. It's good stuff, though. Actually, it's worth it. Tweed actually counts as 1.1.
Hey, I can write this down.
Yeah, you should.
Tweed jacket.
Tweed jacket, 1 point of armour. It's
very good. Wasn't it the same in the Buffy game we played a long time ago?
Yes, no, tweed jackets always count as 1 point of armour.
It saved
system.
The Watcher's life.
Yes.
They got trying to get Hell Dimension at the end.
Well, yeah, until that.
Well, yeah.
That was his own fault. He was saving your character from a dark fate.
Which I was probably going to have anyway, so it seemed like a dumb idea to me. But... I'd have been told him at the time.
I know, he just didn't listen to you. Don't worry, man, I'll save you. I'll take the Dark Fate. Woo! Oh, wait.
Sorry, yeah.
Well, he did manage to change it from a percentage chance that you were a deep one to from a certainty to a percentage chance. So it wasn't entirely. Because if you'd taken it, it would have been a certainty. But anyway.
No, I didn't manage to find out anything. Well, I suppose we should probably ask the person with all the knowledge of items and things. Did you not find out anything?
They're pointing at you, by the way.
Pino?
I can't see you, so you have to let me know when you're pointing at me.
And sadly, I can't. Oh, you can't see us at all?
No.
Hang on. I could actually turn on the back camera rather than the front camera. Let's try that. Can you see them now?
No, but I have no visual of you.
Well, it was supposed to open on the back, but it hasn't. And we don't particularly want to shut you down. We'll just shout, "Oi, you!" when we're talking to you. "Oi, you!" They're talking to you.
Yeah, I did have a good look last night, but I wasn't able to find a single thing on it. Not in any of my books.
That's interesting. Do you know what else is? I think that Uncle Henry is being rather evasive and just feeling about it.
I noticed the same.
Yeah.
I wonder why. What about? It seems like maybe the more mystery. I do like mystery. Is your Uncle Henry generally a mysterious person?
Short answer. Yes. He's never told you how he lost the hand or the eye or why he wears a turban and why he's in a bath yet.
Really? Yeah. We don't really hear from him at all.
You'd have thought that would have been the sort of thing you might actually know. But no.
Do I remember him losing them at any point
in my life? No. He would have, you're, what,
24.
He'd have lost all of them. By the time you were like 6 or 7. Okay. He was in that situation by the time you were 6 or 7. The train chugs along, chug, and eventually the conductor goes, read them the next station, read them the next station. It's about about 9 at night by now. It's quite late. You have had a nice meal in Norwich before you set off, so it's not too bad. Pulls into Reedham, a tiny, tiny station. It's basically a siding. There's a little covered section and a single carbide lamp. And everything else you can see is just black. But you are inside a lit train, so it might just be good. Nobody else gets up the train. You get on. Climb down onto the train. They get your luggage off and then pretty much take off again straight away. It wasn't the light difference. There's literally no lights. From here you can see, under the lamp, there's a notice board, which has, written on it, if you wish to buy tickets, inquire at post office. And you can see a few houses down the main road, with others off to the sides down alleys and aprons and stuff. But none of them have any lights on at the moment. It's starting to drizzle.
What's going to collect us?
Yeah, there's a definite lack of anything resembling a car.
That is rather annoying. How do we get a message to these people?
Pigeon?
We don't have a telephone, but we could look around, I suppose. How does that work?
Normally you go to a post office and then say to them, "Can you please telegram this such and such person?" Of course, if you were telegramming Sunset Hall, you would telegram to the post office here, who would then print it out and carry it to Sunset Hall. They'd probably wait till tomorrow.
Right. Okay. Well, they might be running late. We could wait a couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm. It is only 3 miles away, or possibly you might be able to find somebody in Riga who can take you. It is very, very dark. Do any of you habitually have torches on you, or?
Yes, no. I have an electric torch and flashes.
Well done! You've got that. You've probably got some flash powder.
Well, yes, but I'm saving that.
Yes. It's really a one-shot deal. Hmm. Loaded into a ring, or possibly a watch? Oh no, this watch.
Fucking watch.
So anyway, yeah, you wait. And you wait some more. About 20 minutes later, you're starting to come to the conclusion that no car is coming.
Right.
Should we head towards the lights and see if there is some way to...
You're standing under the light.
We said there were a couple of houses.
There's houses, there's no lights. They don't have any lights on the houses.
Well, there's really no point in standing at a station when nobody is coming to get us.
No.
You step out of the train station and, well, a thin sleet starts to fall. Everything is, like, wet.
I will probably have an umbrella.
You extend your umbrella.
Can I have an umbrella as well?
You've seen the weather.
It seems like it's something to bring when it was raining.
Electric torch or umbrella, which...
Well, I wrote electric torch down, so...
Did you bring an umbrella?
Not going to what various stuff I put down.
Did you have an umbrella?
Probably, yeah, actually.
Oh, self-explanatory. It's because, like, gadgets, they're a thing. Stage magicians. Clink. Quite a big umbrella. Keeps you nice and dry.
Can we choose the colour, Mum? Are there such things as colour umbrellas?
It will probably be black.
No. Sensible, teacher would probably bring an umbrella, right?
The sensible teacher almost certainly has an umbrella. She probably has a torch as well.
Considering that we are paying for our committee, she probably shares it with the room.
Yes. And her electric torch. The rest of the village sort of disappears in a dreamlike indistinctness due to the swirling grey vapour. The air feels like oily and clammy, and you can start smelling the river. It smells a bit, rotten vegetation and so on.
I'm a city chappy, I am. I will be paying very careful attention to where I'm walking and what's going on around me, and looking very impressed by the entire affair.
The main street is actually cobbled, although the side streets are dirt roads. The main street, literally it looks like a 200-yard stretch of cobbles, and then that's it. There's actually a couple of churches. Well, you think they're churches. Can't really see. You're walking down the street, and there's a dock on one side. Which seems to be where the canal is. And there's a river off to the other side. Do you want to make me a spot? Remember, somebody needs to roll for the peanut.
I'm doing that.
And somebody needs to roll for the committee played.
Ilfork Peanut got a 0-1 against 70.
You can go right ahead and pick your spot.
I can see everything.
Okay.
I've already ticked spot hidden.
Oh, shame. So who succeeded? Mr. Oldstaff did.
Yep.
And Clarissa Clifford. Both of you notice a dim shadow down by the dock. Looks like a person.
Oh, I say, maybe they could help us.
You sort of head over towards them. And you stop short because the shadow looks unusual, like a bit too big maybe, or hunched over, or... And then the wind changes for a moment, and this horrible stench of rotten eggs rolls over you from the canal. The figure sort of shifts suddenly, and there's a ripping sound, like cloth or something, and then it's gone. You walk a bit further down to the docks, and there's nothing there. Really a strange egg spell.
Do I know of any sort of illusion-type equipment that involves egg smokes?
Well, you can use sulfur to make big yellow puffs of smoke.
But there was no egg smoke.
No. Interesting. Of course, why would anybody be doing stage magic on the dock? Seems a little of an odd thing, unless they were practicing. But then, when did you practice in the room?
In the middle of the night.
No, I don't see it get wrong.
It's only about
20
past 9.
It's the middle of the night.
It's December, it's quite dark.
There's no street lights.
And you're in the middle of the Norfolk Broads.
So are we walking in a house, or what?
Well, you sort of...
Did nobody else see the man just vanish in front of us?
No.
Is there nothing left on the ground? Can I look around? Where did he go?
No, it's just a sort of slimy dock. There's a couple of barges tied up at it, but that's about it.
Is nothing in the river at all, or in the dock?
You can't see anything in the canal, no. There might be another boat the other side of the canal, but you can't really tell from here.
How very odd. I've just seen a man vanish off the dock. Did nobody else see it?
I didn't see a man.
No,
it's not the smell. You did hear the sack. It's like a cloth.
Clarissa sort of nods and says she thought she saw something. To corroborate you.
Mm-hmm. How very odd. A trick of the light, maybe.
One thing you do notice is you turn round to walk back to the group. Down the end of the street, you think one of the houses at the end might have an oil lantern on, because from this direction, you just see a bit of an orange glow escaping around the side of a curtain.
Oh, fantastic. Well, let's see if they're still up. Maybe they can help us.
Mm-hmm. Wander down towards that building. How are you going to rouse them?
Knock on the door.
Okay. You knock on the door. Nothing.
There's no other lights on at all in any of the windows.
None of the other houses have any lights showing there. Maybe they didn't hear you?
Yes, I should knock a little louder.
Not. Still nothing?
Which window's got a light in it?
The one just to the right of the door.
Is there a curtain door that you can see?
It's the curtain's mostly drawn, but it's ripped up slightly on the mantle. Try banging a bit louder.
Can I see if there's anyone inside the house? I know it's terribly rude of me, but we are growing quite desperate now. Can I see anything through the gap in the curtain?
You can see the edge of an oil lamp, and people wouldn't normally leave oil lamps unattended on account of they fall over and burn the house down every time. Okay, you start knocking on the door again and hanging on, and suddenly the door is yanked open. Don't you people know you can't go around making noise like that at night? Good lord, you'll have the Danbury demon down on us in no time. What the hell do you lot want? It's a relatively short, about 5'6", 5'7". White hair sticking out sideways from a very large bald head. He looks quite like weatherbeaten. Probably works on a farm or something like that. Quite big, gnarled hands. Definitely works with his hands. He's very red in the face. What's going on? What do you want? Well! And he's shouting at you while whispering, which is interesting.
Good evening to you, sir.
Shh! Quieter!
Okay, I'm whispering in character. I will speak up so you can hear me.
Yeah.
And I say, we were supposed to be met at the station. We're going up to the what's the house called? The someone?
She's looking it up.
We were supposed to be met at the station by a car, but no one seems to have arrived. We've walked up here. I do apologize for disturbing you, sir, but I don't suppose you could help us or point us in the right direction.
He leans out and looks up and down and says, come in. He practically drags you all inside. And you come into quite a nice kitchen come sitting room. There's a considerable number of drying hams hanging from the rafters. Like about 9 or 10, there's a lot. And there's a woman sitting by the way. Get up down, come on. Come in. He looks out the door again, shuts it, and then bolts it.
I'll be apologising all the way. I'm terribly sorry. I'm so sorry for disturbing you. Sorry for bothering you on this grim night. I do apologise.
That's fine. Now. Oh, sorry. Yes, introduction. I'm Podrick. Podrick Giles. He shakes various people's hands. Right, you said you were looking for someone earlier? Is that correct? Looking for someone earlier?
Yes.
Is this baby?
Is this baby?
Is this baby? Why? Come, sir. Do you want to speak with those people? Not very nice.
I want to see how you speak to
them. You say you were supposed to be picked up?
Yes, yeah, that's what she said.
Well, we do have a car, but... Here, why? Have you seen Jeremy today? Well, we've not seen him. We've not seen... Because they've got a butler. He does most of the driving. Jeremy Dulles. But I've not seen him. It's a terrible night and all. And you say you want to get out to Sunset Hall. I don't like leaving people without help when they do. I'll tell you what. You promised that we'll be, quiet on the trip. And I can go and get the horse and cart out. But only if you promise to be quiet. As the one looks. Anyone want to, make a psychology roll?
I have 40 of that. I'll give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Yep.
What was the name of the monster he mentioned?
The Danbury Demon.
Does that ring any bells at all?
Does it?
No. Passes.
Okay. Those of you who pass your psychology rolls, notice that although his wife keeps rolling her eyes every time he tells you that you're going to have to be quiet, or you'll have to stay quiet, she doesn't seem to be happy that he's planning to go out in the night. So, are you all agreed to stay quiet? Right, I'll go and start itching up the horse and cart.
I will go and try and assist him whilst conversing with him. Mostly conversing, I'm not so good with the animals.
No. You stay in here. No, you stay in here. Old Ned. Oh, he doesn't like people he doesn't know. No, you stay in here. I'll hitch him up.
You mentioned a Danbury Demon.
Oh, yeah, well, terrible thing. Yeah. Been here since the 1700s, you know. Yeah. Some preacher fellow said he got rid of it, but that was on the... Don't keep telling them such rubbish. Go on, get out. If you're dead set on taking them to Sunset Hall, get on with it. The sooner you're out there, the sooner you're back. But you stay here or I'll go and pitch the horse. Heads outside and then walks around towards the stables. The wife's all. And then you're sitting there working away at some knitting.
I'll make the light conversation with the wife then.
Yeah, then.
Yeah.
What's he making?
Scarf. It's about that. It's about 2 inches of scarf. And it looks like the sort of scarf you could beat a horse to death with.
What's that colour is
it? It's mostly brown.
Okay.
Well, I'm making a scarf. Hobbit needs it for when he's in the fields. I'm really not happy about this.
Why do you have so many hams?
Because we farm pigs.
I see.
Don't collect ham. I'm not pleased about this. I'll just let you all know. You city types coming out here, dragging people out of their houses in the middle of the night. It's terrible.
It can't be so convenient. We were expecting to be picked up. You see, I got the telegram.
Well, the Davies.
I've not seen Philip in years, to be honest.
Well, no. You wouldn't see Madden around in such places like this. Incidentally, I don't know how to make it. I'm just generally making tapping noises.
Okay.
Knit 1, pearl 7, probably pearl 3, then knit a couple, then pearls and then pearl everything. Pearl all the things! Incidentally, we're running a live system here, so if you want to utilise any of your persuadey or fast talky or any other skills, please feel free just to say, I'd like to use those on this business.
So, why are you so worried about him going out at night? Is it a dangerous place?
Well, do you have persuade or fast talk?
I have persuade, I believe, 44.
Yes, you do.
Make me roll. Not difficult to persuade, so you've probably got that.
No, 74.
I am quite charming though as well.
What's that?
60.
Oh yeah, make a roll on 60.
Okay.
Make another roll.
Yes, 30.
Really quite attractive for a
middle-aged gentleman. Well, you saw that. Well, you can ignore that rubbish Patrick was telling you about demons. You're going to laugh. There's a crocodile in the river.
A crocodile?
It's escaped from a circus many years ago.
Gosh, that's funny.
It's called Old Toby. Several people have gone missing over the years. It's been out there. Because crocodiles, they live for a very long time, you know. And if my husband comes back eaten, I will blame you.
But we will try our very best to not allow your husband to be eaten by an old crocodile.
It's a massive thing, supposedly. All the men in the thing say eating cows and such.
Tied cows, good lord.
No, that's different.
Where?
Yeah. If you've got zoology people, feel free to roll it.
Does it have biology?
Yeah, she can roll it.
Oh gosh, so it is.
Everybody's gonna have lots of ticks to roll by the end of this. No. Big crocodile. Yes?
I roll to see if the pig is lying.
Oh, like, no, she's definitely telling the truth, according to her.
So she thinks she's telling the truth about the problem.
Yep. She's definitely not pleased about her husband going out.
Well, is there anywhere we could maybe stay instead of dragging your husband out into the night? Is there an inn or a hotel?
Well, the pub, I suppose, has rooms, but they're not open at the moment. It's quite late at night, don't you know?
Well, yes, we did notice.
You'd have to wait until tomorrow. Well, I don't have space for you to keep. City sites like you would like to sleep in the stables, especially not with Ned. The person who tried that was bitten.
I hope it's not reoccurring happenstance people ended up here in England.
No, the last fellow was a crab. Big scruffy fella. Podrick said he had to have a meal, though, so...
So where did he come from? I don't suppose you get many people passing through here.
He was one of those itinerant farm worker chappies.
Oh, I see, the sort that come down for a season.
Well, they wander about the various farms doing jobs, moving from place to place, you know, vagabonds.
But
18 months ago? It's a clever. We don't get many visitors in New York. Well,
I think
oh, no. Jeremy Donalds usually comes with them. They've obviously forgotten.
Very unusual.
And he'll have to look down Ned when he comes back. Leatherman doesn't grow on trees, you know.
Is there anything you could do to help?
I wouldn't like to send.
But I'm sure that you would be compensated by the house for your assistance.
Oh! By the Davies? Don't make me
laugh. You don't seem to have a particularly high opinion of them.
No. Well, Jeremy the butler is fine and his wife is fine, but they themselves, no, not very nice.
I suppose that.
She's very stuck up, you know, the girl.
Stuck up as in?
You know, thinks herself better than us, just because she went to university.
Oh, well. I'm looking desperately out the window. Does it look like there's a horse outside there yet?
There's a horse out there, but there's no cart as yet. You spend probably the next half an hour pretty much in uncomfortable silence. As she knits her way through probably about nearly a foot of scarf. She knits very fast. And eventually Podrick comes back in. He's a bit soggy. Right then. Now, I'm willing to take you out to Sunset Hall. It's only 3 miles, so it won't take us too long. Probably an hour or so. But you've got to promise to be quiet while you're out there. Everybody promise? Mm. Come on then. Oh my god, the trip to Sunset Hall is miserable.
I will thank the wife for hospitality on the way out.
Well, yes, of course. As you're going, the sleet turns into full-on rain. And there's no cover on the cart. So you're basically snuggling under your umbrellas. But you can't get enough coverage to cover everything. So eventually, like, the odd drip will go down the back of your neck. And...
Well, is it possible for me to sit up with Podrick and talk to him? If I pulled the umbrella over him, maybe?
The moment you start to talk, though, he turns and goes, shh.
Oh.
He looks perfectly fine. Because he gets up on the thing, wraps a big blanket around himself, and then puts an oiled coat over the top with an oiled hat. Basically, all the rain is just pouring off him as he sort of holds the reins very close into his body and guides the horse. Little taps of the reins and occasionally points this way or that. The rest of you, though, occasionally the wind will blow in from the side and you get face full of freezing cold rain. It's really horrible. About the one thing that it does do is that it makes it easier to bring any luggage that you've got. But it's just awful. The rain pours down and the wind gets more and more, and eventually you actually have to put your umbrellas down because they keep turning inside out and you're sitting there and it's raining and it's cold. And eventually you sort of come to a little path. You've gone over a bridge, so you're on the other side of the river, not the canal. You're coming up to a sort of low rise, which is just above the Danbury River. Sunset Hall seems to have been rather a grand name for a stone farmhouse. It's like two floors, probably. There might be a cellar, you think. Podrick does mention that it is the biggest place in the entire region, right? Well, in the entire, in the district, with the exception of Rowstone Manor, which is where you can now, just before where the river meets the canal. I'll pass you this map in a second. I'll pass this out in a second. You're sort of coming up to it. As you approach the house, right, there's like a proper road heading up towards the house that stops on a loop in front of the house. But right next to the entryway, there's the double doors of an outbuilding, which is they're wide open. Seems like that's a garage, judging by the ruts and the tracks that go into it out there. They're sort of banging back and forth in the room. Hang on, I'm gonna take them off. It's down after the horse goes over and fastens the door shut. Comes back and says, well, I don't know what's going wrong. You said the car was supposed to come and pick you up. Yeah, that's where the car would be parked. There's no car in there at the moment. Not in the garage. No idea where it might have come. I've just come down the only road between here and Reading. Push on to the building. He pushes on down the road. I'll pass you out the map. There you go. You pull up in front of the house. It is a two-floor thing. There's no lights on or anything, and there's no dogs barking. Do you want to make me a listen check?
Yep.
You two can both keep your checks. You can hear like a from probably a generator of some sort around the north side of the house. Also, behind you, you hear like a crash of thunder and the rain starts to really pick up. It's really coming down very, very hard now, and you can see the odd thunder, lightning flash off in the distance, back towards the east. I've used Sirenscape, but obviously I can't remember. There's an open noise. The downspouts are starting to rattle with all the water gushing down them. It's coming out in sheets across the lawn. And you are very quickly getting soaked. Podrick pulls up his sack. Go on then! You wander up to the football.
Yeah. Well, thank Podrick. Do get back home to your wife safely. She would be tremendously
annoyed. Get into the house first. I wouldn't want to leave you here if I'm going to have to take you back and shove you in the stables.
Many thanks.
Lay on the door, someone?
Oh, yes. Get the door.
Well, that's not like Jeremy. Normally up right away when someone knocks on the door, especially if we're expecting someone. Give it another go. Put your back into it, lad. You can hammer the shit out of the door. Nothing happens. Nobody comes. This is all locked. I think there's a back door.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Wait, no, there's a, what they call, big glass house.
Conservatory.
That's the one. They were right, you know, made up to have gotten it brought from Norwich. Round the back of it. Hang on, I'll come with it. He ties Ned on. Walk all the way round to the back. To the conservatory, which is on the west of the house, which means it's handily away from the storm, so you get a bit of cover. The river is really rushing by at the moment. Something looks a bit wrong about the back of the conservatory. And as you come round, you realise that, the door basically been twisted open and shattered. The tile floor inside is covered in bits of glass and bits of window frame and everything. And the heater for the plants that were in there has been knocked over. And the burnt area on the floor where the carpet was caught fire and then burnt out. Back door to the house is open. Ooh, don't like the look of this. Definitely in. Because the wreckage is all over the floor of the conservatory. Oh, don't like the look of this.
Is there any visible signs of people getting around, or can you hear anyone moving around in the house at all?
No. All you can hear, if you made the roll, from the northern building, is like a putting sound of a generator.
We should go and see if there's anyone in there, if they're okay, if they need assistance.
Right.
It looks like they've had a break-in.
You got any light lamps or anything? I think I've got a paraffin lamp back on the car. Go on then. He is quite happily letting the women go first here.
Is there a lamp I can borrow with him? I wouldn't have bought one with me. If you wouldn't mind if I could. Doesn't seem right to let the ladies go first.
Yeah, well, no, I suppose not. Pass them over, Anne.
Yeah,
I think Clarissa, I don't know what it is. So, come in. So, come into the, through the back doors and into, it was marked here with the dining room, but shouldn't be in the dining room. And you find, like, the house is in a shambles. You play your lamps back and forth. And, furniture and belongings are strewn all over the place. The chairs for the dining room table have been smashed. The wall here that goes into the hall has got two massive holes in it. Looks like somebody's fired a shotgun. The plaster has been blasted from the stone walls. What's this? And we're all excited to the two shotgun blasts. He turns around and look at you, and they go, and he points down behind the table.
I'm looking way over there.
You practically dive round the table. Ladies and gentlemen, the first sanity check of Cthulhu. Could everybody who is viewing what is behind the table, please make a sanity check. So it is D100 under your current sanity.
I have a sanity of 35.
I equaled mine.
You're fine then, you lose 1 point.
Ilbukino's failed by 40.
Ilbukino loses 2 points. You stay well back.
Just curious.
Sadie
would look. So what is it? Do you want to get above or below?
Below.
Yes, I get below.
You lose 1 point of sanity.
Hey.
You come round the corner and those of you who are looking, you see a mangled body. Think it's a man? His neck is broken, his head is, where his head would normally come straight up from the neck, it's actually almost 6 inches to the left of where it should be. You can see the bones stretched and broken. His jaw has almost been ripped off, there's a big tear down the side of his mouth, and he's in the direction that his head's moved, his jaw is even further across. One of his arms has been almost ripped from its socket, and in his other hand, he's holding a double-barreled shotgun. However, something has crushed the barrels. Not bent them, just crushed them. Almost.
Like a handprint or claw?
Teeth like a giant crocodile. It's just like a 6 or 7 inch long section that is now flat.
Does this look like something one man couldn't do this? Two or three, maybe.
Two or three with hammers could crush a thing like that. A very strong man with a hammer might be able to break a neck like that. That's Jeremy Doles. That's their butler. He goes and he drags, a sheet that was covering some furniture over, throws it over the body.
This is terrible. Is there authorities we can call? Is there police or?
Well, we haven't got police in Reedham, but, we should probably look for his wife first. I mean, I hate to think what's happened to her, but. Who could have done such a thing? Right, you're currently in the dining room. There's some stairs up in the left-hand wall, along with a door in the left-hand wall, and there's a door in the right-hand wall which you would think goes to the hall. It's just awful. I mean, who would do such a thing? He looks like he's been broken. I don't know. Oh, incidentally, everybody should put on the back sheet seen a grisly dead body, 1 point of sand. Because once you reach 3 points of sand from seeing a grisly dead body, you can't lose any more sand for it.
So we just write that wherever?
There should be a thing like horrific sights or something. Possibly. Just shove it somewhere on the back. It's just so you can only ever lose a maximum. So, if say for example a deep one is 1d6.
Meaningful location?
Where we found that dead guy's body isn't a meaningful location. So, where are you going? Left, right, or upstairs?
Right.
Let's split the party!
You can cover more ground that way. Okay, you're heading to the right-hand door. What about the rest of you?
Who gets cuffs? I'm going to go with them.
Podrick is short but gnarled. He's a stage magician, and he is a relatively small shopkeeper.
I'm going to be following Podrick.
I will probably pick up the goat. Are we in a room that's got like a fireplace? Is there a poker maybe I can pick up? I don't carry weapons. I'm a shopkeeper.
Yeah, you can pick up the poker. The shotgun is entirely broken. You head towards the door. Open the door to the door. Yeah. Has anybody got tracking?
We'll put the people at 20.
Okay?
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Got it at 20.
You've just taken a whole load of skills you don't remember, haven't you? Now, if you want to make a roll on it, and you're following Mr. Walsh.
I was looking at the wrong character.
Good start. you cross over to the other side of the hall. The hall itself, there's lots of like sideboards and things. They're all covered in dust sheets. It looks like a place I haven't seen them much in a way. Opposite there is a big door on the wall, sort of looking to the left of where you're standing. And to your right, there's another set of stairs that go both up and down. You can hear sort of a mechanical humming noise coming from the door in front.
No, I'll go through that.
Does it sound like a generator?
No. It sounds like something being powered by the generator. Oh my goodness. Oh no, first. You sort of go into, you open the door to the door. There's definitely coming from all around, but it's really dark. You have to look around with your lamps to find the light switch. Turn on the light switch. They told you they really liked books. They were not kidding. Appraiser accounting, anyone?
Queen has got a 45 in appraise.
Give it a roll. You want to roll?
Yeah.
Nope. 67.
It's not that far, bad. There's probably 10,000 books in here.
Oh my goodness.
They're all in sturdy glass cases which rise up to 40 foot from the floor in individual columns about a foot wide.
I'm probably standing over my mouth hanging open. Possibly drooling.
Each shelf is a separate unit and has its own door. Each door is secured by a latch, which firmly seals the glass door against the frame. In one corner of the room, there's like a cluster of equipment and valves, and there's ducts running from it into the top of the cases. That's the thing that's making the sort of... It's obviously getting power from the generator outside.
It's doing what, sorry, I missed that.
It's making a wum 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 sound.
But what's it actually doing? Is it like a light or something?
No, there's ducts going into each of the bookcases from it.
Oh, okay. Possibly something that was extracting the moisture or the air or something. Would it be something I'm familiar with?
It seems likely that that's the sort of thing that it's doing.
Yes, yeah, keep the books safe, keep them. Do they look like old books? Can I look in one of the cabinets? I've been completely distracted, so.
Oh god, yes. Most of the collection consists of rare historical books, periodicals, or unpublished notes. You take a very quick look round and there's books in German, English, French, Spanish, Latin, Romanian, Italian, Japanese, Chinese, Sanskrit, Finnish, Russian.
This is a treasure trove, I say.
You've got.
Yep.
Are you taking a look around as well?
Yep.
You find the Image du Monde by von Metz, Sedissimus Triumphants of Granville, De Maleretria by Remigus, The Public Works of Paracelsus, Albert Macbeth Borellus, Trithismus, von Jungs Crowley, and many, many more. Also, there's full sets of the occult review of Enigma and the Oxford Occult Times. however, while you're doing this, do notice that the next case along has been broken open. They have like actual rocks down their side, but somebody smashed open the glass.
Just fell.
And for me too, I'm looking around.
You just pass.
This is obviously a special case. And as you sort of reach and move stuff around, because there's nothing in this case. You notice a tiny piece of leather embossed with a skull, obviously been ripped off as somebody was pulling something through the glass.
Oh. I will point it out, but possibly pick it up and pop it in my pocket.
It's like black leather, kind of weird leather.
I have a 70 in library use. Have I seen this before in books and in my rare books that I collect? Is it something that is familiar to me?
You can make me a very hard library use. That's one thing.
Yeah.
If you pass this, you'll definitely take it.
You can end up get 14 or under. No, 52.
No. This is not booky. It's not from a book you've ever heard of us.
No, it's not familiar material at all.
No. We've ascertained nobody's got to
write that. Yeah, just leather.
Yeah, it's just leather. Or anthropology. Probably, it must be. Not in this case, man. Charles, don't think she's in here. It's quite impressive, but maybe we should go looking for the lady.
Yes, of course. Of course, yes. Of course.
Right.
Reluctantly leave the room.
You leave the hall, and that's when you notice that directly opposite the door you've just got into the library, there's another door in that room. So on the far left, as you're looking at it, you've got the dining room where you came in. And directly in front of the door to the library, there's another door. You open the door. This seems to be a parlour of some description. There's sofas, easy chairs, a couple of occasional tables, and everywhere is covered in books and periodicals. The most recent thing is the Times from yesterday. There's also another door on the other side. We'll see if we can continue. Mm-hmm. Open the door at that door. There's a piano and a harp in here. Both seem to have been covered up with dust sheets. They've been shoved together in one corner in favour of what seems to be a large billiards table. There's brandy and cigars on the side table, a load of ashtrays all over the place. There's also a lot of different paintings on the walls. Hey, Mr. Man Who Deals With Antiques, make me an appraise check.
No, 95.
You are still thinking about the books. There's so many books. It was so interesting. There's so many books, she doesn't notice the original stubs on the wall. He doesn't notice the original stubs on the wall. On another wall, there's a load of, pictures of Philippon. There's a framed clipping identifying Victor Davies as the 1912 Hutchinson Prize winner for meritorious historiography. That's an answer. Davies Sr. is kind of quite good looking for an older man. He's, looks quite vigorous. He's got big white hair. And this is a great sentence. A petulant forcefulness in his appearance. Probably, he's about 6'2", which, given Philip was only 5'6", means he must have towered over him. They're both very expensive looking things. There's a door out to the front of the building here, but that's locked up as well. So the only room you haven't checked in is the kitchen, which would be the side of the dining room. Which is where you find the wife. Yeah. I would like another. Another sanity check.
I halved mine.
Oh, I failed.
And, Oliver fails his.
Okay. Those of you who pass,
she failed as
again,
well.
Lose only 1 point. Those of you who fail, are losing 1d3. So I need to do a 1d3 for El Pocatino.
Mm-hmm.
2 points again. Brings you dangerously close to a temporary insanity. So you have the points on.
Sorry,
Oh, yes. Her maximum is 3 points total. Because maybe she's a hideous body. So, you need a D3?
Yeah, I need it. So just
yeah, it's two for you.
Okay.
And a 3 for Clarissa. So if she hasn't lost any before, she loses the full 3. If she has, it taps off at 3. Because no, it comes off sanity.
Sorry.
Not luck.
Her sanity's not circled. What sanity?
Starting power.
Yes.
But I can only lose a maximum of 3
she's
points
still
from my body.
So she still loses 3.
Yeah.
So I don't lose another 2, I only lose 1 more. Is that right?
Yeah, basically you lose up to 3.
Each time?
Yeah, so the maximum you've lost is 3. No, in total.
Alright, okay, so...
So
she loses.
So she didn't get that effect.
Yes.
So it's
maximum. Now we're out on...
On hideous body, grisly death.
Okay, so now I've lost 3, so more grisly death.
No more grisly death. Until you've had a bit of a time away from the grisly death, and then grisly death. Or you find really grisly death. The wife... You open the door to the kitchen, and Giles is right up there with you. Because you sort of, his words sort of prompted him to get right up the front. So you and he go through the door first. You play the light over it, and he goes, oh! And flees back outside and throws up in a corner and then leaves. He goes back round towards the doors. Jeremy's wife is exceedingly dead. Something has torn her abdomen open, and the organs have been stacked neatly on the side of her body. That's bad. The worst bit is the fact that the scratch marks under her hands, which means she probably wasn't dead when they started. Handily, it looks like it probably didn't take long.
I might be joining, what's his name, outside throwing up.
You retreat out through the smashed back wall. Podrick has headed round to the horse and he's sort of sitting on the cart going, it's the demon. I'm not having this. He seems to be having a bit of a breakdown.
How many points of sanity do you lose before you start, in a go, before you start being
fight? 5 in 1 hour will cause, 5 in 1 go causes you temporary. 1/5 of your total in an hour, causes a longer temporary, an indefinite time, which lasts a considerable amount of time. If you reach 0, that's it, you're done. You're back in the bar. You head down the stairs.
What if those things are still in the house? I don't think it's a good idea for people to be wandering off alone as he's leaving. I will say this. Can't hear anything. Does having been sick and taken a few deep breaths, can I go back in? Does it look like it's been there for a while? And I'm not an expert in this, but
the big puddle of paraffin was probably caught light when they overturned the heater. It burned itself out, and there's a lot of water on the floor of the conservatory. You're taking another close look, aren't you? Can you make me another tracking check?
Nope.
Okay. You head down into the cell.
Can I have a look around the conservatory to see if there's anything else that sticks out?
No. Whatever did this basically smashed the doors in one go.
Can I look specifically for footprints? Because it must be a bloody thing.
Yeah.
So they're looking around. Footprints on the ground.
Yeah, you find a large footprint in a patch of mud.
Larger than my own?
Yeah, bigger than yours. It's got, you think it's got claws, but it's shaped kind of like a human foot, but bigger. And the first two toes have claws. It looks humanoid, but it's definitely not human.
Judging by the shadowy shadow, if I am doing this based on the fact that I am incredibly intelligent, I'm not just randomly joining back here, I'm very smart. Judging by the shadowy creature that I saw standing on the docks.
That shadowy creature would be too small.
It would be.
It was man-sized, but odd-looking. This would definitely be bigger than man-sized. You've headed down into the roots. It leads down into a relatively small basement. It's obviously where they store the food. There's a little bit of cheese, maybe half a jug of milk, a little bit of bacon, a single bit of ham. One thing that strikes you is this is not a very large amount of food. It lasted a couple of people, 1-2 days maybe. Yeah, it's not off. Oh, sorry, I forgot to mention. There was a safe in the library in one corner. The door was actually open. Old staff was obviously much more interested in the books. And you got sidetracked. You can pretty much say that theft was not the point of this attack. There's £250 in there, deeds to the house, and a load of other houses in Reedham, and what looks to be Victor Davies' life insurance policy, which is made out of £10,000 to Philippa. Doors open. It looks like it's been like wrenched open by main force. It's not a massive safe, but that would take some doing. Strangely, no. They look quite neatly stacked. Almost as if somebody opened the door, had a look inside, realised nothing in there interested them, and then left it. Yeah. You can have a look through, make me a library store and then a store. You find the acquisitions file for the library, which keeps track of the books they've taken and gotten in. It'll take you a bit of a while to read through it all, but you can pretty much, you look through and see where the books that are missing are. Because this, the books that are missing are probably the Book of Dizan, the Nesprit Shlikim Kultum, the Gahan Fragments, and Kefat Akudingen, none of which ring any fucking bells to you. You've never heard of any of those books. No. Dizan rings a little bit of a bell for you. Some of your really old occult books might have mentioned Dizan or Diazan or something, but you've never heard of a book called The Book of Diazan. If you want to stay and read that, the acquisitions file, you can. Anybody else want to have a quick once over of the library again?
Right, I will in a minute. I'm still with the body at the moment.
Okay. Make a spot hidden for her then. Yeah, we'll find out. Spot hidden. It's the most used skill in the theory.
No.
But sometimes you wish you had.
I missed it actually.
Are you back there?
Yeah.
Okay. You remember that this is Cthulhu's 7th edition. You can push rolls if you fail them, or spend luck to make them.
Pushing them.
You described how you're going to give yourself another go at making the roll, and I tell you what the consequences will be if you fail that roll.
Right.
And then you make the roll again, hope you pass. If you want to spend luck, given you only missed by 3, you cross off 3 points of luck and then succeed. Personally, I'd probably go for the luck thing, because failing a pushed roll is quite bad. It always has negative consequences. Possibly, you'll find something, and then, by accident, set it on fire, or something.
It doesn't bother losing three more luck, though.
How much luck have you got?
55.
You've got probably a quite high luck, and after every session, you get to roll it to see if you can get more.
Okay, fine, I will spend.
That is the one thing that you're allowed to roll.
I did not know that one. Okay, fine. Bringing 3 luck.
Okay. You managed to find a thin brown folder, which has actually fallen down the side of the desk. It's a little cloth accordion file bound with a red ribbon. It's underneath the work table and the stuff. Which you wouldn't have seen. If you sit down, it's really obvious. You wouldn't see that. You also find, wedged between the door and the side of the safe, a little thin folder, which has got a manuscript inside it. It's handwritten, probably by Victor Davies, and it seems to be a something called the Kingness of Two Alike, which a note describes as being a translation from the Book of Darkening and partly from the Bodhisattvism Bodhitra.
Right. Are any people you still off with bodies?
Old stuff is with the body.
I was in the library.
Okay.
Yeah, you've come back to the library.
I'm going to just read this out to you in a sort of confused kind of way.
Sounds like, well, it's obviously madness, but it sounds like it's some kind of magical spell. You can't really tell what it is, because he seems to have abbreviated, like, gestures you're supposed to make and things you're supposed to do. But if you spend a few weeks looking at it, you might be able to work out what it was. At the bottom, he scrawled in quite large writing, "Used to solve great conundrums." The accordion file, when you open it, the first thing that happens is a gold locket falls out. Like a fine gold locket with a chain. It's like Victorian, maybe? It's obviously meant to open. There's a couple of miniature paintings of identical twins. 2 girls, probably about 4 years old. Again, wearing Victorian clothing. The initials underneath them are PR and NR. There's also in this first pocket there's a wax impression of a big key and a receipt from a locksmith, which seems to be the duplication of one key. Again, you can start reading through this file if you wish. Either a psychology or a psychoanalysis role, it's not you. As you're reading through the acquisitions file.
Oh. Holy!
Did you make it?
Fuck.
You did, didn't you?
My psychology is 10. I rolled
1. Okay, nice. Well, you impale your psychology. Go ahead and tick it.
Wow.
It becomes really obvious very early on that Victor Davies is possibly a raging bibliomaniac. It starts like relatively normally. He's trying to get hold of rare historical books to help with his researches. About 1910, occult topics start easing their way in. By 1917, though, he's just looking for occult topics. He's looking for bizarre things. He describes, like, the weird volumes that he's looking for almost... It's unpleasant, the way he describes them. Sometimes it almost takes on a sort of slightly sexual overtone. Like, once I've got my hands on the binding of that book, then my life will be complete. I will feel such joy. That sort of thing. This is a man who might not stop at anything to get hold of the book he really wants. He seems to keep copies of every letter he sends and all of his replies. And in letter after letter, he's admonishing his agents to break laws or actually, in some cases, enact physical violence on people to get hold of books. It quickly becomes obvious, for example, that the robbery of the Turlough bookshop in London was probably caused by him. In the last year or so, you get the impression that he's being repeatedly frustrated. An unknown competitor is regularly foiling his abilities to get certain volumes he considers important. He's hired loads of extra searchers and he's paying much higher commissions, but he's still not getting any bonuses. He's not making any headway against what he calls his great opponent. You do, however, find the last set of letters. Firstly, a letter from an agent of Victor Davies called Delvin Kerwin, who lives in London somewhere, and then a reply that Davies sent. If you care to read out the letter.
Kerwin's letter. My esteemed and long-honoured friend, it is great regret that I inform you that the great prize you sought, the volume reference years August 6, 1913, etc., has been sold to our adversary. All may not be lost. At considerable risk, I have interviewed the physical purchaser, one Kerwin Green, the active agents whom I forced to be made known to me. These worthies do business but a few miles from me, in the persons of Mr. Johnson and Levitt, solicitors, Norwich Norfolk. They are, apparently, the primary agents for the actual purchaser who remains unknown to me. Alas, Mr. Green left us before more could be known. In the matter of the volume rarely bound in your delicious phrase, the hasty use of harsh potions might be deleterious.
Yeah, he does use some terrible words.
The churchman is of high standing and his permanent discomfort would provoke extensive inquiries for which we must first prepare. I am, sir, zealous for your regard, Delvin Kerwin, while Greenwood remains with him. Davies replied, my dear Master Kerwin, no one in my experience minds his business better than you, sir. With all your capabilities you have, I hope indeed, consider a proof in substantial gleaming metal. Yet I must remonstrate against the timidity revealed in yours latest. The Archbishop is a callow fool, one unentitled even to touch that volume, let alone to own it. His dogs may notice you can stop in his heart, no one else will. Get on with it. My Bowen's Haven shall prove you, should his Majesty grow wrathful. Sir, kill the boon and take the book. Has that not long been our motto? Need I remind you of the consequences if you do not? Thought indeed, your expected friend, your companion in thee, thinks. P.S. Taking steps to change the conditions under which we can keep an adversary, but the results shall surely surprise him.
Having read that out, you start to make a bit more sense of this folder that you're looking at. It seems to deal with a place called Rosethorn, or the Rosethorn family. The first pocket contained the items, the second contains notes concerning disappearances, strange events, strange sounds, sightings of monsters, weird weather, meteor falls, and other such things throughout the North Broads, usually in the last 20 years or so. Do you want to make me a intro? Intelligence. You want to really concentrate.
I could spend another two.
Two's not.
But five in one day is a lot.
Or you could fail.
I could fail.
Or you could push. What are you doing? What are they looking for?
Searching up there for you.
Okay. So, once I'm done checking the body, I was going to explore the rest of the house. So, before Pete does that, because I'm looking at the body roll.
Bugger!
You were saying?
Yeah. Anyway, before Bloody does that...
I was only going to have another quick look at the body.
Okay.
Just to see if there was anything missing before everyone wandered off, and then I was going to come into the room.
Do you have medicine?
No, I was going to see if there was anything obviously missing. Because if there's a big pile of organs next to it...
The problem is, you don't know what the internal organs of a human being are supposed to look like. You think everything's there, the heart's still there, you can tell that. You think those browny, wobbly things are probably lungs.
Does it look like the body's been torn open or cut open?
Oh god, yeah. No, it's definitely been torn open.
It's been ripped open, okay.
Yes.
And then it, like, organs. Claws? Is there claw marks around the rest of the room or anything? Does it look like a monster has done this?
Well, something.
Like an actual monster, not a human that is a monster.
So something has clawed open her chest and stomach and then pulled organs out and stacked them in a neat pile by her body. The rest of the room, the pots and pans are spread all over the place, but yeah, there's no obvious claw marks.
Okay. But it doesn't look like it's been done with a knife or anything like that at all. It's definitely
like claws.
Okay, that's really weird.
Yes.
So, whatever's come in here is possibly not even human.
Bear, maybe?
Bear neatly stacks internal organs into a pile?
That would be a bit unlikely.
Yes.
You head upstairs.
I will leave the room then, and if Bloody is going upstairs, I will probably join him if he's going to look for the rest of the family, because that's the next thing I would do, would be to continue looking for the members of the household that we haven't been able to find yet.
You two head upstairs. Are you using the stairs in the hall or the stairs in the dining room? It doesn't really matter. Basically, it comes up to a sort of T-junction. There's four rooms along the front of the house, and three rooms at the back. One large room on the back right, and two rooms on the back left, and then the second set of stairs. I take it you're going to check them.
Yeah, it's good.
The room top right seems to be a guest bedroom. It's freshly cleaned and newly stocked with cut flowers. There's a very large bed, chest of drawers, table and chair, and so on. The room directly south of that, it looks like Victor Davis's room. It's a very big room, very nice view of the river. Loads of photographs of him at various academic and social functions. Chest of drawers.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Am I right thinking this is like the main house that we're going to visit that has Sadie's friends living in it?
Nope. Either of you spending any luck points to make that a success?
I would have to spend way too much.
How many would Mr. Holster have?
9.
Are you willing to give up 9 points of luck?
Just my question is, this is the house that we came to visit, isn't it?
Yes.
And nobody else seems concerned by the fact that the whole family's missing.
They are currently searching for reasons why they're missing.
They weren't very close, were they?
Well, she hadn't seen her in nearly 20 years.
Yes,
But yeah, they seem to be concentrating on the why might this have happened, so they don't have to think about the what has actually happened.
Yes. Yeah. Bad things.
Bad things have happened, but let's ignore those bad things while we think about why did this happen? Maybe we can solve it. Maybe we can sort it all out. Maybe we can make it all better. Well, don't think about the man with his jaw hanging off or the woman with all of her organs taken out.
It's that thing.
If my house was being attacked by a monster, I would try and hide. So I will look in wardrobes or under beds and call a name out, call out the gentleman's name as well, and see if there's anyone still alive in the house. And
that sounds like a pushed spot hidden roll to me. Obviously, if you fail this roll, you might alert somebody or maybe damage something.
Oh no, that's fine. If I've filled my spot hidden, I'll continue looking in all the rooms, calling her name out and trying to convince her that the way it's safe.
Yes, past that, got 15 against 70, so that's...
You don't actually find anybody in this room, but you do notice that the bottom drawer of the chest of drawers is locked. It's the only one that has a lock, and the lock is obviously new.
Does it look like maybe someone's left in a hurry, or does it look like maybe there's clothing missing that they packed and left? Does it look like they may have been here when the house got attacked, or were they already gone?
You can't tell from Victor Davies' rooms. He is not the tidiest of gentlemen. There's stuff all over the place.
There's no visible bodies at all, and there's no blood or marks or anything up here that would suggest anyone's been attacked.
Nope, not in this room.
Well, I'll check all of upstairs.
Yes, I was good.
Yeah.
The next room along is another guest bedroom. The next room along from that is a woman's bedroom. You reckon this is probably Philippa's. Mainly because you find Sadie's telegram, which is short to the point of being almost incomprehensible on the side. There's two big wardrobes here. First one you open has got like women's clothes and frocks and so on. And the second one was men's clothing, but in the same size as the women's.
Oh, good. Is there a diary? Any written records maybe that...
She doesn't seem to have kept a diary.
No. I have got a very miserable son indoors. I frequently find him writing all sorts down in strange places.
Yeah. However, it turns out Philippa Davies is not your son.
No.
Bedroom 4 is a nice corner room, but it seems to have been left undisturbed for quite some time. It's clean and it's obviously been dusted, but the flowers on the window have just started to wilt. There's a picture of a woman in there who looks a bit like Philippa, maybe her mother. Obviously not been used for years and years though. Bedroom number 6 is packed with disused furniture and neatly labelled boxes. And finally, there is a bathroom. At the back of the... At the back of the bathroom, there's like an oilskin wall been put up with a door in it.
Oilskin wall? Yes.
oil skin. Like really Ooh. Black, almost rubbery stuff.
Okay, can I see what's behind there? Is that something that's quite unusual to find them? I imagine it is.
Yes, yes. An oil skin wall in your bathroom is quite unusual. It makes a bit more sense when you go inside the little sort of walled off area and find it's basically a photographic darkroom.
Okay.
There's a load of large format cameras, reflectors, dry rack, flash paper, that sort of thing.
Is there a folder maybe, or anything being processed?
There's no actual pictures here. There's no negatives either.
Maybe in that locked drawer then. There's no visible dead bodies over there.
There's no other dead bodies here. I'm just going to go quickly back to the people in the library. You've now reached... Are you both reading the big file? The fabric file? If so, you can make an internal check when you go through the second pocket as well.
There's Clarissa wants to read as well.
She might as well, because she's quite clever as well.
Should I roll for her?
Yeah, you do.
So does Clarissa.
While she may have just glossed over it entirely, you both realise that there's a pattern of livestock disappearances from farms that border both the canal and the river. Which is so pronounced that, the apocryphal crocodile, Old Toby, is mentioned in several of the stories. The third pocket of the file concerns the Rosethorne family, who were once prominent farmers in the region. Most of the tales relate to persistent uprisings amongst the farmers. And in some cases, even stories of farmers giving up their lands around here and fleeing. Mostly connected with rumours of rough treatment. Brophy Rosethorne was rumoured to actually be a prominent member of the slave trade as late as the American Civil War. But he died with his wife Amelia. Their daughters, Patricia and Nathalie, reportedly died of typhoid few years later while living with unnamed relatives in Lincolnshire. Since then, the attorneys of the estate, Johnson and Levitt Norwich, have employed caretakers to keep the grounds in order. There is also a map of the Rosethorne estate, which I will now look out of the notes for you.
Where is the
initials
of that
locket? It's surprisingly difficult to tear in a straight line. There you go.
No, the third bit was a roast one.
The fourth pocket has those two letters in it. I'll give you a moment, and the fifth pocket's got that picture. Basically, it looks like Rosethorne is a few miles up the Danbury Canal from here. There's an article from the Norfolk Historical Review that mentions Rosethorne Mansion was built by Sir Hugh Rosethorne, who was the original builder, who was a Catholic and feared attack by the Tudors or possible peasant uprising, so included unspecified defensive works in the design. I will now return to the upstairs team. What would you like to do? You can have the map. Okay.
I would quite like to have a look at the locked drawer.
Okay.
It's quite suspicious.
The drawer is locked. How do you intend to gain access to it?
Can I check in the obvious hiding places for a key? And which is quite unlikely, but...
I am set to say that the obvious places for a key are obviously empty.
Yeah, in that case I still have a poker. Can I try and force the lock off?
Yeah. The shopkeeper seems to be trying to open the drawer with a poker.
No lockpick skill.
Do you want to let him, or do you have a lockpick skill?
No, I don't have lockpick.
Okay. In which case you watch while he levers the front off. Inside there are two, at first you think they're folders, but it turns out they're actually like photo albums, which are also locked.
They're photo, are they made of paper?
The outside is not, no, it's like very thick card and leather.
Something you can cut through?
Yeah.
Can I cut round the lock? The lock is only as good as the box it's on.
Well, you can saw your way through the, like, the clasp leather. That's not too much. It takes you a little while. There's a letter opening there. It's not really sure. You slowly but surely saw your way through the hasp of the first folder. And then you open it up. Well. Tell why they're locked. They contain nude photographs.
Oh my goodness me.
Of Philippa Davies.
Good lord.
In various erotic poses. The background for all of the photos is the downstairs library, presumably because the electric lighting there offers excellent lighting. As you take a quick flick through, Victor Davies is sometimes present as well.
I think once I realise what they are, I don't think I would look through.
I would probably keep looking, just
yes.
I wouldn't.
Let me put it this way.
Quite outrageous. They're poor women.
Some of the photographs that involve Victor would certainly resulted in jail time. But do not seem to have been forced.
Oh my. And the second folder?
Are you opening it?
Well, yes. May as well.
After about 10 minutes of soaring, it's more of the same. There are something like 200 to 300 photographs.
Right. That's a lot.
Yes. I'm guessing, but you think probably taken with the photographic equipment you saw in the back.
My
it hardly seems necessary to sully the girl's reputation. I think maybe we should put these back where we found
them.
Yes,
we'll put them back and then say no.
I don't see what this would have to do with anything.
Well, no, exactly.
Slide them back into the drawer. Do you return to the others?
No, there's no third floor.
No. Well, you can pop open the attic, but it's just got the normal sort of junk and attic collects. Mm-hmm. Boxes of periodicals, a couple of boxes of what looks to be Victor Davies' book. Historiography in Norwich. A history of Norfolk and its people. It's quite dry. And dated 1908, so it's obviously well loved. You come downstairs and there is no sign of either Victor Davies or Philip Davies, with the exception of photographs. Quite a lot of the place, though, as you're moving through from one place to another, quite a lot of the furniture has been covered up with sheets.
It looks like it hasn't been lived in that much, then. Is it?
No, it's definitely been lived in.
Is it? No.
Does he look like a housekeeper, the master and the lady of the house would be using it? That's the one that covered for him.
No. No, it looks like maybe they were using it until recently, but they've covered it up recently. They certainly didn't have very much food in the place. There is an outbuilding, incidentally, which if you bother to check it, is probably where Jeremy and Alice live. Or Dell, whatever their name is. But there's nothing of interest there. There's a lot more food in there.
Is the food that's left behind kind of the non-perishable variety, stuff that would be left if you were, say, going on a journey?
The only perishable stuff is the milk, but there's only half a jug of it.
Mm.
Enough to make, say, for example, yourself and some guests a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Similarly, the amount of bacon would do two people, maybe some guests for a breakfast.
Very good.
Not that you've seen.
Yeah, piecing it together, it does start to look like maybe they've left the premises. Maybe there was a disturbance in the house and the butler and the wife came to explore it. They don't live in this house. And maybe that's what's happened to them.
Well, maybe you lot would like to tell them that you found in the library. You lot maybe don't want to tell them what you found in the locked drawer.
No,
we've already made a pact.
Yes, we will definitely not put that.
Of course, when the police tell them.
Well, then that will involve us.
They don't need to dust for fingerprints. They look at the obviously jammed open door. They might mix it up with the burglary. Except there was no burglary.
Well, there wasn't any burglary before.
There is apart from the rare books.
Well, there is £200 lying around, but I don't think anyone knows.
Yes. Algernon Wharf stash. Kinda poor.
Well,
it's just good. Imagine being tempted. Disappearing
that. I'm quite happy for you to slide a hand it if you like. Anyway. It's not a penis.
That wasn't me, that was Emma.
That's true. But anyway, yes. You will gather back into the library. Giles actually comes in as well. He's kind of right, they know what to do. Did you find them? Are they upstairs?
No, they're in front of them.
What could have happened?
It looks like some kind of animal attack.
Oh, it's awful, it's awful. No doubt the demon. Oh, maybe they were being too noisy. Oh dear.
I'll probably have another look in the library then, because there's a lot of books in there. Mm-hmm. If there's any more clues.
Make me a spot hidden.
That is where everyone is, isn't it? They've found a place in the library, is that right?
Eventually, one of you will notice there is an appointment book on the desk. Today is Mark have Jeremy pick up via crate. So, Jeremy's crate was definitely picked up.
But Jeremy was the butler, wasn't he?
He's the dead man in the dining room, yes.
Pick up crates, though, not pick up guests from stations, though.
Pick up crates, it says.
Well, he sent this telegram yesterday.
Yeah.
Are there any other things in recent days in there that suggest we might be going away?
There is. is a council grocery. The first.
Okay.
Which would be the day you got the dinner at the Dolly Grand Mall.
So they, at the Dolly Grand Mall, they did say that they tried contacting them to get the tablet, didn't they? So maybe
yes,
that's
they. They said that they would like, they tried to get him to send them the crate via the post and he refused because it was too expensive to send via the post.
Mm. So they were aware that we were coming and when we said, hi, we're coming, it's possible maybe they put two and two together and hopped it.
If they hopped it, they wouldn't have bothered buying a crate. Judging by what's in the appointment book, you'd be fairly certain they were actually intending to hand it over. Certainly, in the acquisitions file, there is a letter from Victor Davies to the guy he sent to the appointment book, which basically reads, what the fuck is this thing you've sent me? This isn't a book. I am down £600 for an item that is of no use to me. Maybe those idiots will buy it off me. Make an approach to them immediately.
Okay, so the reluctance to hand it over seems genuine. It's not a case of he wanted to keep it. It sounds like he did actually want to get rid of it.
He certainly, the moment he found out it wasn't a book, he stopped being interested.
Okay then. So, at least that much is done. He doesn't seem to have been dodgy on that side of it. But it sounded to me to start with, so maybe he didn't want to part with it, which is why he was hesitating about giving it to us.
Well, that's certainly what Henry Terrence Smythe thought.
Yeah. It doesn't seem to be the case.
No. Although he does seem to have been very concerned with this Rosethorn mansion. Given you found it directly under his seat at his work desk. Basically, if you sit down at the work desk and drop your right hand, your hand lands on where the folder is.
Can I take a look? Is it something that rings a bell?
Well, they can paraphrase it for you very easily.
Okay.
Off you go.
So we found this lovely
little
dinner
table.
Yeah.
We found this whole book in the first.
An impression. There's an impression of a key and a receipt for the making of a key from an impression.
Right. Okay.
Looking at the impression, does it look like the kind of size that would fit in, say, a new lock on a drawer?
No, it's a massive key.
Okay.
It looks like an old fashioned door.
Like a door in a mansion. It's a place where children are.
It's entirely possible that it's the sort of key you might find in a mansion, yes.
Right.
That's the
Hooray!
Well, it all seems to be rather together in the story, doesn't it?
Yes.
All these musical things about
the
family and
weird occurrences down the Danbury Canal.
This locket's killing two of them, who are currently dead. So that's terribly threatening all about, actually. Apparently, the same solicitors are in charge of that house as the agents for. Hey, this is the main adversary for Bookworm.
It's given his obvious bibliomania. His obvious bibliomania. That would make them his ultimate enemy. His nemesis. A sort of person you definitely not like. I believe at this point, we should stop. hopefully you've enjoyed hearing the beginning of this adventure. The horrific murder of a butler and his wife, possibly leading to some kind of bibliomaniac's folly. Thank you very much for listening. We hope that you enjoy what you are listening to. And if so, please leave us iTunes reviews, because although we might not be able to read them, if, for example, you're in America, they do occasionally lead to more people hearing the podcast, and then we get more listeners, and then we can do more shit. We do have several ways of contacting us. There is thecultoftinandice@gmail.com. I am on Twitter at @morbigan.
Twitter at
BelieveBot. Archive is still on Twitter, and we still can't tell you what she's on Twitter as. The blog, incidentally, very recently, gained cake recipes, which you should totally go and read and then make and then devour with your mighty face. I think that's it. Thank you very much for listening, and we hope you enjoyed. Bye!
Bye. Bye.